Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
You're listening to Lost and Rewound
on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Time to get embarrassed with us.
With us.
Post-Halloween, I suppose.
Happy day after
Happy
Halloween.
November.
It's been, Elon, it's so nice that you're back. We missed you so much.
I'm happy to be back, although I will admit that England's weather was quite unseasonably brilliant.
As in quite brilliant, warm and lovely and
warm
bright.
And lovely. I think it hailed once while I was at lunch in the Battersea section, which is quite lovely. South of the Thames.
Ooh.
Yeah. Look at me and my geography sights.
Summertime, English boy, American girl. Okay, that's not the lyrics. Anyway,
this is Alon Danziger reporting for duty for Lost and Rewound every Thursday here on Radio Free Brooklyn from 3 to 4 p.m. I'm joined once again by my cohorts Will Hasty and Catherine Dunn.
How you doing?
Hi.
We are here to excavate all of your archives from the yesteryears, your audio archives. We are the archaeologists of audio archives.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to be such an asshole here. Excavate.
Yeah. There we go. Continuing to fuck words up since 1995. But, you know, every time we come onto this show, there's...
London got in your head, man.
Yes.
He's going to excavate.
Everybody says literally instead of literally. They say literally I was going nuts. I was like, yes, you were going literally nuts.
Well, at least they don't say aluminum.
Aluminium?
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
No, no one says that shit.
They really don't? You didn't hear them say that once?
Maybe you didn't ask for it.
Ooh, yeah, there you go.
I did not ask for it. This is true. And it was not takeout. It was takeaway.
Whoa. Oh, that's so weird. Yeah, that always does rock me a little bit. Oh, did you have any good Indian food?
Yes, in the hotel.
Ooh, what?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Huh. Can you believe it? Hotel Paddington rocking my socks off with their chicken tiki masala, which is not even a real Indian dish. It's
not
a British dish.
It's an Anglo-Saxon dish.
But I'll tell you this. The next time I do go to London, I'll rock some Brick Lane no matter what, because last time I was in London prior, Brick Lane was most certainly hit up, and it was delicious. And there was an amazing chocolate place over there, too.
Not that I'm, I mean, my only experience with Brick Lane was the book Brick Lane, which references a lot of Brick Lane. But yes,
I think it was called Dark Sugar.
Dark Sugar. Walking down the street looking for Dark Sugar. Yeah, Catherine's nickname is Dark Sugar.
Catherine Dunn, a.k.a. Dark Sugar.
That's my identity.
tell everybody how they could hear about Radio Free Brooklyn events that are coming up. It's Radio Free Brooklyn always has things that are coming up.
Are you talking about our newsletter, Radio Free Brooklyn?
Yes,
are you
telling
people to download the app so that they could have it in their pocket at all times?
Well, yes, all of these things.
I mean, you're smart people. If you have an Android or an iPhone, go download those apps.
They are amazing. General communication is that you can listen on the go, on the run, or in your car, etc. To download the app, all you got to do is go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/iPhone for the iOS app or radiofreebrooklyn.org/Android for the Android app. Got to say, guys, I use it myself. It's actually easiest way to listen to my favorite shows on Radio Free Brooklyn.
I actually was able to use it while I was in England. So there you go. It is usable internationally, everybody. But about the events, there are plenty of events that are coming up. So where do you go to sign up for that?
RadioFreeBrooklyn.org/newsletter.
Hell yeah. And it's only going to come like once a month or something?
Something like that. I don't even think I get them that often. I don't know if I've ever gotten one.
Look at you and your persnickety email filters, Catherine.
Persnickety?
No, not at all.
guys, Jimmy Hoffman here. I just, persnickety brought me back to life. I had to just pop out of the ground to say persnickety. That's incredible.
Speaking of, there's an after-school program.
Yes. Because these kids can finally learn media literacy through media making with the hands-on approach guided by us, these local professionals that you are hearing right now, or maybe other more seasoned professional, shall we say. But, you know.
I'm sorry, professionals? What is that?
Oh.
The excavators.
Ah, yes. Yes, the excavators. Makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, all those, you know, if you participate or donate, those donations will be tax deductible. You do know this, that Radio Free Brooklyn is a 501c3 non-for-profit organization whose mission is to provide a free and open platform to our community and promote media literacy, education, and free expression. So support our mission. We rely primarily on your donations from listeners like you, and every cent will help us continue to stay on the air. Make your one-time donation or monthly pledge at radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. And remember that your donations are tax-deductible to the fullest extent of the law. Without further ado, let's get started with this week's edition of Lost and Rewound and see what audio we have in store.
Spooky.
Ooh, yes. Ooh. On this day after the dead.
Many, 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 many years. I feel like it's been the one holiday that I actually, like, unabashedly get into. And it's one of those holidays that I can sort of depart from the rest of the world and just appreciate and have fun and just be my own silly self. And I think as an adult, I've come to appreciate it a lot more than I did when I was a kid. What were your guys' relationship with Halloween when you were, let's say, before you were 13 and then after you were 13?
I'm not sure if it's changed. I think I've always been obsessed with Halloween, and I don't think it's going to stop.
No?
No. I don't think 13 had anything to do with it. Like, that's not the holiday that I was suddenly like, well, I'm too old for this holiday.
Yeah.
Like, that day has never come.
That never happened to you?
No, but with that said, I don't think I did anything for Halloween this year.
No.
So.
Last night I was at the Bell House helping my friends, the Occasionalists, benefit at the Bell House.
The Occasionalists.
It's the Rocky Horror Picture Show live band karaoke. And it was it was so much fun.
That sounds amazing.
Last year was a lot of fun, too. I dressed up as Russell Hitchcock from Air Supply. Yeah.
Please tell me you have a picture of that. Post that in the show notes.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I've already seen them. They're on the internet.
Already happened. Last year, I was Paul Williams from Phantom of the Paradise, is how I was inspired, and, you know, kind of the precursor for doing the show that I did this past year at the Secret Loft. But the Paul Williams garb was good. And then I kind of didn't really think, because I was going to England, I was really kind of sad that I couldn't capitalize on being here for the weekend before, which is evidently when everybody kind of got their rocks off, you know, a little bit too early.
Halloween weekend?
Yeah, exactly. And that's always the best, too. I feel like, historically, when Halloween's during the week, it doesn't really make it as good of a time, because then it's like, oh, now you just got to go to school tomorrow after going and having too much candy from trick-or-treating. What about you, Will? You grew up in Brooklyn. Was trick-or-treating a big thing in Brooklyn Heights?
It's huge. There is one street called Sydney Place where you'll walk, which are essentially, you know, cut off, you know, so it's its own little sort of side street between two other streets. So you'd take a normal city block and just cut it in half. I mean, even to this day, I walk down Sydney Place just for comfort, because, like, especially on Halloween, you'd walk down there and it was literally shoulder to shoulder. And especially growing up, I'd walk down and, like, literally every house on that block, I knew everybody, you know, and, like, Brooklyn Heights is a very tight knit community. And so you do know almost everybody in the neighborhood, but, like, you know, most of the time you're walking down the street, you're like, I know people in that building. I know people in that house. A couple houses go by. I know people in that house. But this, like, Sydney Place was literally, I know that person, that person, that person, that person, that person, that person. You know, it was
exactly
just so close. And Halloween for me, like, I love the concept of dressing up. I love making really elaborate costumes, especially that were like sci-fi and monster themed. But because of swimming and just because of my life, I was always, and just because also, you know, I'm a shit planner, taken by surprise by it. You know, like, I was working with a friend over the weekend, and I was like, oh yeah, my friend invited me to a Halloween party. And she goes, today's Halloween? And that was essentially the same reaction I had when Halloween was yesterday, you know? I mean, then it's kind of a good microcosm as to how I've always experienced it. I don't really plan for it coming when I want to. Yeah. And so it would always be like a couple days before, right when, you know, my friends were like, oh, we've got our costumes together. Everything's ready. What are you doing? And I was like, oh, shit, I got to put something together quick.
Yeah.
And I would just like run to a costume store and rip something off the wall and try to make it work.
Like a maniac.
No, yeah. Literally, no. The best was one of my ex, Steph, got, or, you know, from way back when, got me she got the tickets to the McKittridge Halloween party with Sleep No More.
Okay.
And it was supposed to be mummy themed. And so I literally
toilet paper.
No, wasn't that bad. We were close though. I got a mummy costume from Abracadabra, and I dressed it, quote unquote, with vinegar, black ink,
why?
And to make it look real, to make it look worn.
Smell bad.
Here's the problem.
Nobody wanted to be next to you during that party.
Well, that's
stay away from pee boy.
Even though I rushed the shit out of that thing and ripped it down with tons of like deodorants and
no, you
stuff,
didn't.
I really
you didn't
did.
Have time.
I really did. No, I really did.
You're
I mean,
lying.
No. This was all done a couple hours before we went. And it went absolutely
wet and dry and deodorized.
Yep, and
it
absolutely smelled like shit when you got within an inch of it.
Smelled like piss.
It did smell like piss.
I know it's
but
vinegar.
But it was a really fucking awesome party, and I looked like a pretty insane, ridiculous mummy. When
you
what I should have done
smelled like a crazy person.
Guys, I can't even think about what a Halloween was in terms of like costumes. I'm so impressed that you were able to remember costumes that far back. But that said,
I can remember shit.
I can't remember any costume before college.
Seriously?
Oh, I can. I won't tell you.
Wait, didn't you have the friend who had built the ridiculously elaborate costumes? Did either of you guys have that?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I think I've talked about this on the show, and there's going to be a lot of that on this episode of things that I've talked about before. My friends Ben and Bobby dressed up as boots one year.
That's great. Like a pair of boots?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Like their moms dressed them up in these very large paper mache boots that were much taller, like they were probably 5.5 feet tall. I think they won the costume contest that year for a good reason. He also was Mega Man Ben 1 year, and I really, yeah, like his mom made a freaking Mega Man costume.
That's
I was
awesome.
I was like, can I please be Mega Man? Because I think actually I remember asking if I could borrow his helmet and pretend to just like go running around my backyard.
How
shooting.
Could you not? That would be like getting a Rebel Assault helmet. You know what I mean? Like you're a fighter pilot.
And it wasn't even
Rebel
Halloween.
Alliance.
I just wanted to dress up as Mega Man just for fuck's sake.
Oh, why not? Yeah. But no, I mean, my friend Theo would always build. So actually, Theo, who was
Theo
on Dunsun, who called in from Cali. Theo
was not on Dunsun.
Yes, he was.
It doesn't count. You want to be on my fucking show? You put your ass in this fucking
studio. Oh, shut the fuck up. He's in Los Angeles. He wasn't going to fly here.
And when he comes here, he can be on Dunsun.
Yeah, yes,
fair
exactly.
Point. Okay, he was
he'll
a
make it here
call
eventually.
In on Dunsun.
Yeah, that's
Anywho,
better.
He would always make these incredibly elaborate costumes with his dad. And they were, and like, you know, whole nine yards, like chicken wire, like, you know, the foam caulk, like sealant and painting them and doing these whole things. And honestly, this is weird, but looking back on it in retrospect, it really was kind of like living vicariously through him in terms of costume, because we would all just sort of jump in behind him and be around him. But the best costume I ever did was so cheap. It was literally just like all black and a mask that had a really, really awesome, slightly shaded and slight. And I didn't realize this until I did lighting design in college, but it also had a little bit of diffusion. So in darkness, or not in darkness, but basically once the sun had gone down, even in light, wearing this sort of hooded thing with this mesh thing over my face legitimately made it look like there was no face in that hole. Like it was just an empty hood.
Amazing.
And so that whole thing was like $15.
What about you, Catherine? Do you have any costumes that you can remember from when you were younger?
I'm not going to say what the ones from when I was younger were like. Because that would put me in a specific time period.
Oh, come on. So wait, which
come
Madonna
on, you're 21,
were you?
21, yeah.
No.
Which Madonna,
was,
I'm sorry, which 1960s Wonder Woman were you?
I was the Madonna that made out with Britney.
Okay, that's fair.
That one, okay.
Yeah. actually, I just remembered Ghostbusters I did play a Ghostbuster.
Oh my God.
I dressed up as a Ghostbuster 1 year. I think I dressed up as a budget Batman 1 year.
Budget Batman!
Really? Yeah. I dated a budget Batman. I was Poison Ivy and he was budget Batman.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
His that's a good couple costume.
It. No, his dad made it. It was terrible.
Wait, how old were you? Wait. So what age? Oh, wow. Okay.
It was really annoying. That was like one of the last relationships I was kind of really in.
Yeah. Wait, please tell me that the Batman mask was just like one of those plasticky things with a headband and like a little slit for the mouth.
The Batman mask is actually a legit Batman mask.
Really?
And I have it.
That sounds awesome. That actually sounds really fucking cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's in my like room of costumes.
I think the reason why originally up top I brought up 13 was because when I started a new school and when everybody got to be, I guess, a certain age when they were in middle school, there was this association because we did trick-or-treating in town, right? We didn't do trick-or-treating per se at houses, although there were houses in town, residential properties.
I mean, like apartment buildings.
Yeah, apartment buildings, but it was mostly in the town of Woodstock, a real commercial area. I think there's a clip actually that I could play that sort of sheds a little light on this.
Lovely.
So for this episode, just to bear with me here, the Halloween special was a tape that I recorded that's not very long, and I was actually able to extract some clips from it. There's specifically, I think, some mentioning of what was going to happen or what I did that day in lieu of Halloween.
First of all, we weren't going to be at the party. The party passed already. It was great. I mean, I'll tell you a lot of things about it that happened there. But I'll just, let me just tell you, the reason we couldn't be at the party is because my dad said that it's not the way to interact.
Well, I've been to parties before. It's been all right.
As I was saying. So, more stuff to tell you? Well, I've gotten a haircut. That's to say, I've gotten a haircut now. And not just for Halloween, but I wish I could do it for life. But I got a wedding coming up, so I can't have it that much. Yes, that is true. This it will be the weirdest thing ever imagined in the history of Elon's life. That's right. He dyed his hair. He dyed his hair red. Yes. Dyed hair. Cut hair. Awesome hair. That's right. And today, some cool things might happen. Yeah. But anyway, so we're here and the bus and some really Halloween-related things, if you know what I mean. We'll probably take this while we're trick-or-treating and we'll give it to my mom. We're going bombing. Yes, right. Bow, 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 bow.
To recap, first thing that was mentioned in this clip that I recorded for the Danziger Zone, the Halloween special on the bus while other people are talking and socializing. I'm talking into my recorder about how I went to a really great Halloween party. I remember at Samantha Ackerman's house in Hopewell Junction, New York, and she had a bunch of people over and I was there and I wanted to bring my tape recorder and my dad said that that was not the way to interact. And I was like, but I've been to parties before. But I didn't say, blah, 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 not with blah. A recorder, though. You're not supposed to go to a party with a recorder when you're 13
but
years
that's
old.
That's genius. What are you talking? I mean,
I should have.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you have interviewed the other kids?
Probably.
Yeah, that would have been so good.
It would have been.
That would have been a wonderful time capsule. Of because 1996 was also the year of that crazy snowstorm.
This was 1995. Brooklyn. Fuck, I'm sorry. Eighth grade was 1996 for me. I have a great memory. Evidently, I don't. Seventh grade is 95. So that said,
oh, my bad.
That was the first time I ever dyed my hair, was that seventh grade. In the year that I was trying very desperately to find my identity in a new school. And
seventh grade? No way.
Yeah, believe it. I had skateboard shoes. I, at one point, tied my hair in a ponytail.
Oh, my God.
And managed.
And you had an earring.
I already had an earring, yes, for a few years. But then I dyed my hair red.
Red hair totally reminded me of a Halloween costume that I still own and hasn't fit me since I was roughly 13.
Which one was that?
Like your shirt right now.
Oh,
so.
Fuck you! Ladies and gentlemen, I have just lost a lot of weight and I am wearing a shirt that I haven't worn since I was 13. But that said,
you could probably wear this costume, bitch.
I have a Foo Fighters t-shirt that I wear still to this day that I got from my first concert in 1996.
Hell yes.
I could wear anything I wore when I was 13 because I was wearing baggy clothes.
No, that makes sense. I mean,
it's
only because
stupid baggy.
I feel like especially with the cat hisses, that was sort of in your That was sort of in your wheelhouse.
The what? Oh, my character?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I dyed my hair a different color every week.
What was the first time you dyed your hair? What color did you dye your hair the first time you did
it? It started out blonde.
You started out blonde?
Oh, well, my God, yeah, Catherine, so done with colors... blonde hair. Wow.
Is your natural hair color brown or blonde?
This is my natural hair color. Okay. So whatever you
see.
So
it is brown for our listeners.
It's dirty blonde.
It's dirty blonde.
Very dirty blonde.
Dirty blonde.
It's dark blonde. It's really just brown.
But wait, so is it like bleached blonde?
Yeah.
Okay. We're not talking white. Are we talking like golden blonde, like a little mixed or somewhere in there?
I don't know. I'll just show you pictures one day.
Do
but
it.
Like
sure.
It was blonde. Like Courtney Love, Kurt Cobain blonde, which is weird because it was like way after Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love.
The costume I was referencing, which was that whole era, was I still have a lot of love for it. It's the red jumpsuit of Captain Picard from Star Trek. Man.
And you have it?
Of course I have it. It was, a red uniform is a captain's uniform, even though, or at least that was a next generation thing, whereas previously the red uniform just identified you for death in a Star Trek episode. And I remember when I put it on, I was so excited because I was like, I'm a captain now. I'm an admiral. And as I'm walking around with this, because I guess my body was just so fucking used. Well, I mean, I was, my body was so used to just being in a Speedo that literally I got heat exhaustion in like 20 or 30 minutes and literally had to rip the suit, not rip it, but they had to get me out of it very, very quickly because I started puking from exhaustion.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. Why?
Because I don't know.
Who is they?
Mom and Dad. Oh. Because I think, because like I got all, I was having a great time. I was like, I'm commanding, I'm being this captain, blah, 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 blah. And then like 25, knowing Mom and Dad, they just slipped me something. My God, he's being annoying. Just give him something to make him puke. But literally,
after, you bossed so hard, you threw up. What a bitch.
After like 25 minutes, I was getting sweatier and sweatier to the point where like, I had a headache suddenly kicked in and I felt like it was like getting a migraine. I just had to puke. They were just like, take the fuck. Well, you're puking. I don't know what's wrong. And they were just like, take the goddamn costume off.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
I think this year was the biggest fail. This particular year of 95. Red hair, new school. Feel like I can do something more adult like and or more, my age appropriate. Because he's going to go trick or treating. Right. So as referenced here, I go bombing. That is my plan. My big plan was
please
to go
define bombing.
Of course.
Eggs.
Toilet paper.
Nice.
I'm not sure if there's anything
else. The classic
else.
Little twisted ties of gunpowder, literally.
Is it really gunpowder?
Well, it's a derivation of gunpowder, but it is basically gunpowder. And so when you throw them on the ground, they snap. Snaps. They're called snaps.
They're called snaps.
Because you would throw them on the ground, they just go. Tsh.
I'm not sure if bombing still is a thing. And I don't really want to know because, quite frankly, I want nothing to do with any kids on Halloween. They can do their own thing. And I will do mine.
Does your wife feel the same way?
Yeah. We have a house and we do not allow trick-or-treaters.
There's a big door on the side that says, kids, fuck off.
Scram.
Well, that would just get trick-or-treaters because they would even
damn
look.
Right.
See, but here's the thing. Like, our tenant really gets into it. So she's decorated her part of the house. So you think that when you decorate your house, that means that you are inviting.
Yeah.
So
it's just rape culture.
What?
Okay.
Yeah, if you dress your house up a certain way, you're asking for trick-or-treaters to come looking for handouts.
Now I get it. Okay, yeah, that was funny.
Damn. That was
that was like, for a half second, I was like,
Where is this going?
Building in patriarchy, but how? Yeah.
Like, okay, so like my boss, for example, used to do like the handing out candy at his office. That's one thing.
Candy.
My mother-in-law, may she rest in peace, was very happy to have kids to come by before a certain time. And, she would hand candy out. And so there would always be candy hanging out at the house. I don't know. I'm not really into it. There are people on our block who get really into it and decorated their house. And, I mean, it's some real, like, deep shit. Like, one of the neighbors on my block has a movie playing in their windows. It's like with sounds.
Really, I mean, that's
with
cool.
Sounds, and there's like a huge spider on the roof, and there's a skeleton. I mean, that's inviting trick or treaters to come. Yeah. So the minute
Baskin
you put like even
it.
Like exactly the minute you put like a spider web or something on anywhere, that means that there should be the assumption that maybe these people if the lights are on. If you're like sitting out on the stoop, I think that's a reason to say like, here, I come on over and hang out, you know, and drop by and get some candy. But that's not going to happen. No, that's fine. Listen, bombing is what we were chatting about, and bombing did not go well for me that year.
Wait, what happened?
I
bombed at bombing?
I bombed at bombing. Yeah, I don't remember what happened. I think my shaving cream did not... I had the shaving cream can. I know I've talked about this before, but I'm pretty sure that whatever I did, I had to, like, heat the pin up or something in order for it to have some aerial trajectory. And it did not, so it just sort of was like you know, just like normal shaving cream.
What do you? No, no,
novice mistakes.
I thought the technique was you put your finger over the hole and just create a little bit of more pressure so that you can fire. So the hard part is pushing the button down and holding the hole at the same time.
Mr. Science, I was not, and
it's
also
a problem you run into a lot.
Yeah,
sometimes
I did not fare well. I think I got egg in my hair within like the span of 30 minutes of doing it.
Please tell me when you were gearing up to throw it, you squeezed too hard, it popped as you were whipping it.
No,
so
oh, the
you
egg
got covered in shaving foam and egg.
Yeah, I think the egg. Oh, I think someone just cracked an egg over my head.
Oh, that's awful.
Was it your own egg?
It was my own egg.
I gotta say, there really is something satisfying. There really is something satisfying about hearing an egg that you just like are whipping. Like impact against a window. Oh. You know what I mean? There really is something satisfying about just that like shatter and spread
so
effect.
You're a terrible person.
I'm not a I so
no,
rarely
he was a terrible
that.
Kid.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Well, we don't know that he didn't
I was
do
a terrible kid.
No.
I was a terrible kid. I'm a horrible person. But no, one of the ideas for pranks that me and a couple friends really had, and two of them that we were obsessed with. One was when we were really young and we came up with an idea to capture the Headless Horseman. And the whole idea was that we would go up to Sleepy Hollow and bring a shit ton of super glue because we thought that super glue dries so fast that even though it's spectral, it's not going to be able to get out of the way. Super glue. Super glue is going to stick to it.
What?
Sorry,
could
I could not even
wrong?
See.
And so
idiot
we
kids catching ghosts
get a
super
bucket
glue.
Of super glue
a bucket
like filled a like full
what
on
the fuck you're lying
I'm totally serious and we only got
where
like
you get a,
maybe an inch no listen to me
kids
we
a made
we maybe
glue.
No so we bought like 30 things of like the little things of super glue and tried to pour them all into this bucket realizing that they would dry instantaneously and so the entire plan just came to a bucket with a quarter inch of dried super glue.
Let's hear some more of me. This is luckily before Halloween. I love how I did a Halloween special before Halloween, before I felt the humility of a kid who just got his egg splattered all over his nice newly dyed red hair. Here is another clip.
Did you know that the superhero for bombing is called the Mass Bomber? Yeah, my hero's so mad. He's so Nazi. So is the Simpsons one year. So might be Lana Bava this year. Or Mark Foreman. Or the Simpsons. Or George Lanceto. Or the Speedo.
Oh god,
no, you won't listen to this. No, because you know that water is known for its hydro. My hair is red. I'm a redhead. Yeah. Did you know no one would recognize me if I went to a red tree with the red pants and a red sweatshirt and the red face from an ice rush and red shoes and red hair? No one would recognize me then. No one. We have a red car pool. Spin, did you know?
So I had ADHD, evidently. No, just ADD. But no, for real, ADHD clearly was somewhere the hyperactivity just like seeped out.
I'm
like,
sorry, what'd you say?
Like red blood.
Happy time! And I'm wearing red pants under a red tree with my red hair.
What I love how I snuck in there was my face being red from a niacin rush, which was a deep cut because this is real because I definitely had an episode I talked about having a regimen of which I had to eat certain foods and then I had to take vitamin supplements. Niacin was not something I talked about on that episode, and it's really important to recall that particular pill because All the vitamins that I took for, you know, this regimen, these vitamin supplements that I was told I had to take in order for, you know, this chemical imbalance to be rectified with all of my different foods and all that I was not allowed to eat and foods that I now had to eat. Niacin was the fucking worst, because niacin was a 100 milligram little tiny pill that in order to take all these vitamins and have them work, you had to take niacin along with it because it was a neutralizer. Now, every time you took niacin, it gave you a little tingling. So you would take multi-minerals, you take Bs, you take Cs, whatever, all these amino acids.
It's the stuff that flushes you, right? Like, its main thing is that your face gets red and you get very, very
warm. Not just your face, your entire body. The supposition is that the more you take it, the more your body gets accustomed to it.
That's all drugs, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So niacin, in theory, should not be giving you that rush. And some people, like my cousin Nicole, who was on the same, like, diet, I guess you can call it, for some reason loved it. I don't know how anybody could love it. But I was 13 years old at a new school with, like, pumpernickel bread, turkey sandwiches, China Cola or, like, supermarket brand soda, chocolate or coconut macaroons, fruit leathers from the health store, about like 13 vitamins that I had to take with me. And then on top of that, one of them was making me turn red in the middle of math class. And I just figured to myself, you know, I'm going to make the best of this. And I'm just going to say, I'm going to be red hair. I'll be red in the face. I'll have red shoes. I'll have red pants. I'll be the most red person of all. You know.
Oh my. So niacin is mostly just B3.
Yeah. But you see it in cereals too, like riboflavin and and riboflavin's brother, roboflavin. I don't know. There's a lot of like these little things that show up in cereals, and niacin happens to be one of those. That's where you normally see it.
Well, it's primarily used for, or at least according to WebMD, cholesterol lessening, for taking down your LDL levels.
Yeah, cholesterol was pretty high for me as that age.
Gotcha. What? How?
Gotcha.
That beats me. I mean, I was like, what, like 95 pounds and just like tiny, pipsqueak.
ADD loved a lot of fats.
Yeah, I loved me some sugar. That's why they took me off sugar, dairy, wheat, and citrus, and a lot of stuff.
I'm so curious what they were like putting in your feed before that you were like had cholesterol issues.
I'm wondering here if niacin is being used to like to essentially like help distribute the stuff in your system, because mostly
it's precisely what it is, because otherwise the stuff isn't going to work as effectively.
Interesting. Wow, but that's crazy, dude, especially at that age.
A lot more about that another time. For meantime, actually, I want to take just a quick short breather, as I think I may have just gone insane a little bit ago, and Catherine and Will as my witnesses here in the studio.
The most red of insane. The reddest of insanest.
The reddest of the red!
Owning it.
I think we got our title for this week. This is Lost and Rewound on Radio Free Brooklyn. For joining us here this week. If you want to listen to past episodes of Lost and Rewound, you can do so on a few different platforms. We're on SoundCloud and iTunes and Spotify as well. But if you want to check out our main page where you can download past episodes and really just, we really need the clicks, to be honest with you. We really do. It's lostandrewound.podomatic.com. Podomatic is our main hub for all of the new eps.
And if you guys want to submit anything, all you got to do is go to lostandrewound@radiofreebrooklyn.org.
Yeah, send your pitches and all of your ideas and thoughts and concerns and please no death threats right now. It's a really tumultuous time already right now. All we want is love and collaboration, you know?
My favorite description of Halloween is from one of my favorite shows.
Mm.
It literally goes, "Do you not see? Halloween is the night on which we become ourselves, because the whole point is, without you can be whatever you want to be. Mm-hmm. You can figure out what you are. You can be your ideal self. You can be the worst version of yourself, or just more risque versions of yourself, but you get to do whatever you want on this truly magical day once a year.
On that note, there is, in fact, a very troubling piece of audio that I'm about to unveil.
Is it the red thing again?
No, that was very disturbing. No, it's...
Can we get like 30 seconds of the red thing in a loop?
Just a cry for help. Is this your last episode?
I wasn't actually in England. I was actually in a locked ward, and I escaped, and that's why I'm here.
I wrote the show notes on the wall.
In the past, I've uncovered the character known as Don Zoni, who basically just...
Don Zoni.
No, Don Zoni sounded
Welcome
like...
Welcome to the danger, Don Zoni.
He was like a Pee Wee Herman sort of...
Welcome to Don Zoni.
No.
He sounded like this. He was sort of like a Louis Armstrong / Pee Wee Herman. I can't really... What else does he sound like other than this? He spoke... Don Zoni kind of had this... Yeah, Don Zoni kind of had a voice like this, and he talked in a very... It's probably like the only voice... Like, I had three registers.
Don Zoni likes a pizza Zoni.
I had
Jockosaurus, who was like a dinosaur. And then I had Scully, who was a skeleton. And then I had...
Oh, my God.
And
please
then I
you had
Don Zoni. And these are my characters that I, like, voiced myself.
Oh, my God. What do you think?
I had Chocco, the Chocodile.
Kind of like that. Okay. But it was Jockosaurus, Scully, and
Don Zoni.
I want to hear Don Zoni and Jockosaurus.
Let's do it.
Let's hear it. Let's hear them talk to each other.
Happy Halloween, Jockosaurus.
Thanks, Don Zoni.
So this story that you're about to hear. Okay, this is the story of Halloween as told by Don Zoni. That's all I'm going to say.
San Francisco treat.
Done. Let's hear it.
Yes. And make notes as whatever I got wrong. Which is everything.
Now, we are going to have a special history, special Halloween history by the one and only Don Zoni. Okay, Don Zoni, let's hear your story of how Halloween was made. Alright, thanks, man. Alright, this is the story. See, one day, long ago, in the lands of England, I heard I'm stretching for us, but when I'm saying stuff, people are gonna act out for it. So just go to Jackosaurus. Sorry.
We shouldn't have told us it was not, told it was us.
Good for you. As I was saying, one day long ago in the hearts of England,
I thought you had hearts. Oh, old chap, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Hey, open the
door. Anyway, so, long ago, England was a great place to live. A lot of people were pretty superstitious what was going on about with witches and stuff.
You know, I really hate that movie Witches. I mean, one thing they should let Roald Dahl just have it. But wait, hold on. Am I talking about something different?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, yeah. Witches, they're bad.
But the thing is, it wasn't just witches. They're also scared of ghosts and ghouls and
vampires
and monsters and a lot of things.
I don't know what I'm scared about. I was just scared and paranoid about everything, you know?
So, what they did was they took some costumes, handmade, and dressed them, and they dressed up as the girls and the ghosts and a lot of weird things, and put on masks and stuff to scare them away.
We don't need them.
We can just dismiss ourselves. Aha! Uh-huh. We're scared of you because we're not like you. Aha! Uh-huh. Anyway, so they did, and even though they must get scared away, but they sure kept away from them. And that is the story of.
Wait, hold on. Did they make a peace treaty?
No, they didn't make a peace treaty.
Did the ghost and the ghouls dress up as people?
No, they didn't. That was all that happened, okay? It's just a little short story.
How did they make the pumpkins?
You know, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. Right, you guys can read that again. Story of the pumpkins. Pumpkins were they saw that they grew all these weird sort of things in the garden, and it helped to scare them away because they caught faces into them. That's how the jack-o'-lantern was made. But unfortunately, apples didn't work, so neither did oranges. Actually, a short for pumpkin. With old jack-o'-lantern, the lantern was because you put a light in the pumpkin. The reason it was called Jack was because, well, I don't know why they were called Jack, actually. You know, I think, why didn't they just name it, maybe Joe or Mac or, I don't know what they call it, but they called it jack-o'-lantern. So, as I'm saying, they put faces in them, put all those faces in them, put like little triangle things, and it scared the ghosts away. Here's an example. I am a pumpkin here for you to be scared of.
Oh, it's not like me. I gotta get away.
Oh. Okay. I'm scared of them. For now, I guess this has been a DZ moment for the story. DZ, don't worry.
Okay.
I feel like a young Alan is the only person who can understand.
I heard like maybe half of what Don Zoni was saying. I think the problem is that I was also doing it on the bus.
Fair point. I would say that you're clearly a kid with a shit ton of imagination that is pouring at you.
Let's cover how accurate this shit story was. This shit story. I don't think that Halloween began in England, but that might be that might be a mistake on my end. I'm trying to like second guess my 13-year-old self as you guys look at your phones.
We're looking up stuff on the origins.
We're Googling that shit, as Michelle Carla says. We're GTSing in the middle of the show.
GTS
to fact check to make sure that this kid had something right. I don't know though. I feel like it was sort of a hackneyed sort of trying to go from what I remember reading in a story in a storybook about what Halloween was. But I don't remember where it began. I only think it was England. Well, I think it was Ireland.
Well, it was. It was a Celtic festival based around what was called. I mean, this is more of a pop. I think this is more of a poppy description. But like, pretty recently, it's become big to describe it as Samhain, which is sort of like the pagan festival of the dead.
Right.
And that was a Celtic festival.
How do you spell Samhain?
Samhain. And so the whole idea was that it was considered a holy night because it was the closest. It was when the veil between life and death was the thinnest, and so therefore you could bless or be blessed by those you had loved and lost.
And the jack-o'-lanterns was accurate. That was on point.
I think that's an American thing. I have no idea, honestly.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where that came from. I think I was bullshitting in that part, to be honest with you. But the fact that I said witches are bad, I can't get that out of my head because I'm thinking to myself, no, witches are awesome. I love witches now. Witches, like, as an adult, Elon, I'm like, man.
You badass witches.
Nah, I got plenty of friends who I know who are witches. I'm good with witches.
I don't know. I see.
I'm good with witches because then if I'm good with witches, they're good with me, right?
I see.
Right?
I see. Yeah, damn right.
That's not how that works.
I see Catherine as sort of like a modern day witch. Like, if she wanted to pursue that, if she wanted to live a life of like affecting people in a quasi magical way, I feel like that's right up your alley. Exactly what you would do. Yeah,
I do already.
There are modern day witches. There's like workshops that you can pay for and like go upstate to the Hudson Valley.
Do you have any experience with Wiccans?
Do I have any experience with Wiccans?
You don't have to go away to do that. You can take classes here, by the way.
Sure. But I'm saying, like, they do, like, weekend workshops or something under the same thumb of the same people who are doing those classes here.
Mm-hmm. Witchy Weekend Workshop.
It's good. www.witchyweekendworkshop.com.
Yeah.
Witchy Weekend Workshop. Wow. It took me a good half second longer to get to it than everybody else.
So that that said, though, I had a friend who I won't name, that it doesn't matter because I don't remember for sure his girlfriend at the time's name. But there was
Jen.
We'll just call her Jen, who was dabbling in witchcraft, but like she was 14. We were all like 13, 14 at the time. And I'm thinking to myself, is that legit at the time? Probably. Because everybody was all about the craft back then, I remember.
Right on.
And everyone started to
carve those things into candles and light them up.
Sure. Get your Firuza Balk on. but that was like the populist approach to being a witch, was like, how could I make everyone's life miserable? As opposed to like doing things for greater good. Like the Robin, what was his name? Robin Tunney, who played the...
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. The actress.
Who? Yes.
One of the actresses in The Craft.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay, so that was a little bit hard to understand. Let's see if we can hear more of this a little more clearly. Oh, I know what this is. This isn't so much a Halloween-related thing anymore.
The
tape that I used to record the Halloween special was originally a theater-related tape that I have no part... I have no part of. I'm not involved in this tape at all, but... No. The Woodstock Youth Theater sent me a tape of like all of like their best of songs, including songs from Godspell and Les Miserables, and just like all of these really amazing singers that in retrospect, I'm such a dumbass. Like, I should have kept it because I'm still friends with some of these people that I grew up with, these older kids that did the Woodstock Youth Theater alongside myself. And
I'd be perfect for the show.
You were given archives and you threw them out?
I didn't throw them out. I recorded over them for this stupid fucking tape about the Halloween special. Because I was running out of tapes.
Really,
at this time, instead of saying my parents, who already were like, stop recording, we don't want you to record anymore, I was kind of fishing for whatever tapes I could possibly find.
Oh, no.
And going rogue and being like, fine, they're not going to buy me more tapes. I'm just going to record over whatever tapes I had. And so
it happens.
There's a little bit left. And I had this program that
play it.
It's called High Fidelity Spying Agency. Let's hear it.
Yes.
It's time for High Fidelity Spying Agency. Bless the Lord. I don't want to. I think it's stupid. Bless the Lord. I'm such a stupid Catholic that doesn't like. Bless the Lord. Yeah, I'm so religious. So freaky. I feel nightmares, man. Don't get my idea or anything.
We will see you too.
Yes, it's just that it's sort of happy music. This is how you work.
Bless the sun, come shining through.
Sun shining through. And we will see you. Forget it, I don't want to see you. I've been on the spy agency.
Total zaniness.
So, let me see if I understand what I just experienced.
Jesus Christ.
Somebody from the school gave you archives?
No, somebody from the Woodstock Youth Theater sent my family a tape of songs, like the best of or whatever. Yeah. Like songs that were at that time, and this is like 95, so it was like maybe 7 years worth of productions, and we just like picked the highlights. And in all fairness, I was so young that I had no reason to be there. There is one song I think I was in that I didn't even record per se. Maybe I did. But it was, okay, so the last song that we heard there, for example, was from the same production that I may or may not have been in the recording booth at the Bearsville Theater, where this was also performed in the Bluebird production. And there was like a song called Bluebird, do-do-do-do-do-do, and it was done by the company. But every other song that was on this tape, I, you know, were like all like one or two people singing songs, and so I had no part in it. So I just had this tape.
So they gave it to you.
They
did. It's not the only copy of it.
Yeah.
There are other copies.
Yeah, I was also under the impression, as seemingly as well as Catherine, that you were saying that you had some sort of like singular copy archive tape and you had destroyed it, therefore rendering this data gone.
There
forever.
Are other tapes out there, and if anybody out there who is listening is a Woodstock Youth Theater alum along myself, I doubt you are listening, but if you happen to be hearing this once the show is archived, holler at me and I would love to hear a song about how would you like to be made out of wood, real song from the Bluebird as well. Yeah.
So you get this gift. Yep. Somebody's really nice. They're like, oh, that weird kid that's always recording stuff. Let's give him a cassette.
Wait, no, no, no. Wait. Was it that or was it that like, oh, you who have a child in the Woodstock Youth Theater will get this copy of all of our best of.
That's precisely
that makes. Oh, that makes a lot more sense.
But I just had a kick and about, and it really, I didn't have an emotional attachment at the time.
But there's no reason to. It's all good.
But I like that you like took it a step further. You actually made fun of the tape. Like you didn't mention that you were making fun of the tape.
And not only that, when sacrilegious, you were like, I'm just a stupid Christian.
Which
who
isn't
believes
true.
In
we saw
God.
Your bar mitzvah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, well, I think this is really an amazing testament to what Lost and Rewound is all about, because the High Fidelity Spying Agency was sort of taking what we do now in listening to old audio pre-existing audio.
Uh-huh.
And in the Danziger Zone program, of which I created this, was basically pre-existing audio on the tape, and of which was like already there, and interacting with it and like calling back to it and like you know reacting to what you're listening to.
So you have not had
Rewound.
You have not had a new idea since 1995.
No new ideas since 1995.
I'm kidding.
Elon Danziger bringing you radio that's been the same for the last 15 years.
Now you can hear it.
The first song was most certainly Godspell, and I guess I was just riffing off the fact that being Jewish and not being Christian, and I know I had an opportunity to do Godspell, and I didn't understand why I would possibly think of doing Jesus Christ Superstar or Godspell since I was Jewish. Like, that's where my head was at the
time. That's weird.
Isn't that weird?
It is.
And
but
so,
I guess it was the 90s.
I mean, that's fine. Wait. But I mean, if that's a theater that you were you in Godspell? I must have asked this. So, if that,
I mean, the music of the show is great. I just was like, I don't really know if I want to be in it.
Wait, so what? So did you have any connection to any of the performances on that tape?
The Bluebird, of which that song that was being sung by old people, of the, you know, not to sound insensitive, the majority of the youth theater was mostly kids, you know, between the ages of 6 and 18. But for whatever reason, this show particularly involved adults, and it was the first stage production I ever did. And there's like three or four tracks from that production that are on this tape, of which one of them is the song you heard with them being grandparents to the main characters. I know that this is a production. It exists. It absolutely exists. Mm. But I just have never seen an iota of its existence after 1989, other than like maybe an anime that existed of it. I looked it up on YouTube, and I think it was based out of Russia, but I really don't have much information other than that. This is our last of the show, of which is a definitively 90s-esque sound. There very much is a love of Alanis Morissette at this time of my life, because I got Jagged Little Pill. I definitely was vibing on this album and thinking, like, the fact that I was one of the first people I knew who had this album. I was like, I got it before she became huge. I had this album. I was playing it on my Discman into the recorder, and all the whole time that I was playing the song into the recorder, I was using some of my character voices to pretend like we were like at a rock concert or something. I'm only going to play a little portion of it, and it's a good one.
It's got to be fine, all right. So I got one hand in my pocket, and the other one is in a cigarette. Say, cut! This is awesome, man! Yeah! Woohoo! Yeah! Woo! Sing it, Atlantis! Woohoo!
Yikes.
Okay, that's amazing. Is that everybody's gonna be quiet? Alright!
Cause I got one hand in my pocket and another one is spinning a high five.
Oh no, the other one's making a peace sign.
Making a peace sign.
That was the fucking line. I loved that fucking album when I was 13.
Yeah, man.
I'm brave, but I'm wild. I'm broken, I'm wild. I'm rare and I'm happy, yeah.
Baby!
Uninvited was probably my favorite song on that
baby.
Album.
No, that, Uninvited wasn't on that album.
Was it not?
It was on the City of Angels soundtrack.
Oh, that's it.
I walked up
you're right.
the stairs.
That was the
I
secret track, right?
Opened your door without ringing the bell.
And then I saw you humping someone else, and that was the entire
impetus
for this album.
Riding?
I better go soon.
No, to quote, I will.
Would you leave me alone?
Oh, God.
If well, I stand in your head. Sorry, I forget the lyrics to that.
No, totally.
If I stand in your shower, would you forgive me, love? If I stood in your shower, would you forgive me, love?
If I cried in your bed,
oh. Would you forgive me, love? If I cried all afternoon? Okay, we're done butchering Alanis Morissette.
Oh, God.
This has been another edition of Lost and Rewound on Radio Free Brooklyn.
As you know, I mean, just on a happy note, I know it feels like the world's hurting you. I know it feels like things could be bad, but you know what? Just give a good old listen to that Alanis Morissette album. It's one
yes.
of the greatest breakup albums in history.
Yes.
Made my little brother, helped him through one of the worst times in his life.
You'll hear us all next week. I'm Alan.
I'm Will Hasty.
And I'm Catherine Dunn.
Mr. Danziger with the crew here on Lost and Rewound.
On Radio Free Brooklyn.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Oh, wait, wait, wait.
Happy November. Both.
Pay your bills.
Welcome down to my. Has been a Chuckasaurus Chive. God, same old day, same old day, same old day. What? We're on the air?